Hello, good evening, and welcome to Seascapes. On tonight's programme, round-the-world solo sailor Alex Thompson before he starts the Vendée Globe this weekend, and growing oysters in Galway Bay. On Sunday, 37 skippers start the world's toughest challenge, the solo round-the-world yacht race, the Vendée Globe. It's an event which takes a huge toll on competitors and boats, and Alex Thompson is one of the favourites. Usually the start is witnessed by hundreds of thousands of people in France. It's one of the country's biggest events. Alex Thompson is a long-time friend and supporter of Irish sailing, and he took some time out of his schedule to speak to Seascapes this week. He spoke to me from his isolation in France.
The race starts on Sunday. All the skippers have to isolate, understandably, to make sure they don't get the virus.
So are you completely on your own, or do you have a family member with you?
No, my family, my wife and two kids, we decided they had to stay at home because the result would be when they went back, they'd have to quarantine and miss more school, so we couldn't have that happening. But I'm not on my own. I'm here with two of my team in our own little bubble. And so working away, looking at the weather and relaxing.
And the race village itself, they had planned to have a full race village, but it closed over the last week because of isolation restrictions in France.
Yeah, so the village was open for the first 2 weeks and still some restrictions. They were limited at 5,000 people in the village at any one time. But yes, the restrictions in France meant then that it had to close, unfortunately.
So,
but, you know, Fogel, this race is, you know, the village is amazing beforehand. You know, generally they're looking at, you know, 2 million people that come through over 3 weeks as a massive event. But our sport is consumed almost entirely on the internet, so it's kind of perfect for this situation, really.
Okay, so you will still have millions of people watching the start on Sunday?
No, there won't be any people watching the start.
No, I mean online or on TV.
Absolutely. I mean, in France, they say something like 87% of people know the Vendée Globe. It'll be on many of the channels. And, we're expecting an even bigger audience than normal.
How are you feeling before the start, a few days to go?
Oh, super excited. You know, this is my fifth event, so I know what to expect. I know what's coming. You know, we've started preparing for this race the day after the last one finished 4 years ago.
I can attest to that. You did.
We've turned up with an amazing boat. We've got an incredibly talented team. You know, I can't wait to get going.
In the past, you came second the last time. You are one of the favourites.
Yeah, no, I've done four Vendée Globes. The first two I didn't finish, and then I came third in 2012 and second in 2016. So it could be an amazing story, you know, to finish it off with a win, eh?
Yeah, and the boat you have, you've redesigned it completely. You have that Hugo Boss logoed boat, but it is, again, and still completely black.
Yeah, so, I mean, the boat is black. If you look up close, it's actually varnished carbon weave. So there actually isn't any paint on it. And that was one of our things, actually. We really wanted to try and prove that we could be, you know, a bit more sustainable. We've got 20 square metres of solar panels on the boat, and we're actually going to give away. We're going to tell people how much energy we're creating on the boat live on the internet via our website.
And you've designed it differently this time in that you will be mostly down below in a cabin, not exposed to the weather.
Yeah, you know, after 20 years of experience, you know, you build a lot of confidence about what you think is right and what isn't right. And so, I decided that the boat, the cockpit should be inside, the human should be more protected. That means I can work harder. And I think it's a bit like, you know, the days of planes. You know, to begin with, they were open cockpits, then they realised they needed goggles. And then one day, some bright spark decided, why don't we put a canopy over it? So I think it's a bit like that.
What will that be like in very hot weather, which you'll get for the first week or two?
Yeah, and when we get to the trades, the hot weather was certainly a concern. So we worked very hard on being able to ventilate it properly. But, you know, it can be just being out of the sun, you know, helps an awful lot. And then with some good ventilation, you know, it should be better.
It will protect you when you get to the Southern Ocean. It will be a key thing.
I just think generally, you know, being able to jump out of bed and go into the cockpit without having to put on, you know, some wet weather salopettes, your jacket, your boots, you know, I can react quicker. I'm going to be warmer, I'm going to be drier, and that means I'm going to work harder.
And everything leads into the cockpit then. You never have to venture out.
Well, no, I do have to venture out if I want to put up some new sails. So if I've got sails that are inside the boat that need to go up, I will have to go on deck to do that. But everything else happens inside.
You'll be able to jibe a spinnaker.
Yeah, jibing a spinnaker is absolutely no problem. Tacking's no problem. You know, that's definitely an advantage, I think.
It's an Amoka. It's slightly different design to what you had before.
Yeah, I would say it's a development of the design we had before. And last time around, we had what was considered to be the fastest boat, so we had a good base to start from. And then from there, you know, we worked with our designers in France to, you know, to try and make the boat as suited for the conditions around the world as possible.
Is this much lighter than the last one?
Yeah, we're a little bit lighter than the last one. And, you know, for a sailing boat, the lighter you go, the faster you go. So it's definitely important. But the biggest challenge for our team is balancing the performance against reliability. And unfortunately, normally when you make a boat go faster, you probably make it less reliable. So that's the biggest challenge, you know. As Sir Robert Knox Johnson tells me virtually every other day, to finish first you have to finish.
Yeah, so a breakage is really a disaster.
Yeah, and the boats are going faster than they've ever gone. So if you have a breakage of any kind, you know, assuming you can continue, you know, any downtime is more expensive than it was before.
And you will literally go around the world in 80 days.
Well, hopefully less. Last time was 74. It's a simple course. You come out of France, hang a left down the bottom, left to Africa, round Antarctica, left in America, and back to France again.
How fast will you be going when you're in the Southern Ocean?
Well, the Southern Ocean is, you know, you get big waves and lots of wind, and it won't necessarily be the fastest. These boats go much faster now in flat water. So if you can find a spot of flat water, maybe, you know, ahead of a front and in you know, flatter water, these boats go amazingly fast. You know, we could average probably close to 30 knots. And a top speed, surfing down a wave in the Southern Ocean, you know, could be close to 40.
So a couple of hundred miles a day.
Well, I mean, I hold the world speed record at just under 540 a day. But with the right conditions, you know, you could easily go more than 600. But, you know, I'm not interested in breaking records. I'm interested in winning the race.
How have you been preparing psychologically? Now you're a veteran of this race, you're one of the most expert people in it, but psychologically, how do you prepare?
Yeah, I mean, I believe there's an awful lot of benefit in working on the mind, and I've got a sports psychologist, a chap called Ken Way. He was the sports psychologist for Leicester City Football Club when they won the Premier League. I've worked with him for 20 years, and I'm not allowed to speak to him during the race, so I have to present him with the challenges and be honest about it, and then he'll come up with a technique on how I can manage that. And, you know, there are some pretty extreme examples of some of the techniques. For instance, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I could be complacent if I'm doing really well and think I've got this aura of invincibility around me. So to get rid of that, he came up with this technique we recreated that aura of invincibility. And then we related it against something that would give me an adrenaline kick, which was a near car crash. You know, when we drive down the road, if, you know, a car pulls out in front of you, you know, you instinctively put your foot on the brakes and, you know, adrenaline goes through your body. You might feel a bit sicky in your tummy, your hairs stand up on your arm. So by relating that aura of invincibility against, you know, something that does that, that means, and you practice, whenever I feel like that, I get a shot of adrenaline that brings me back down again.
We had just a couple of weeks ago the Figaro sailor, the Irish sailor Tom Dolan on, and he spoke about his psychological preparation, and his was the exact opposite of yours. He said what he was doing was lacking in self-confidence, so if things started to go wrong, he talked himself into a mental hole.
Yeah, you know what, I followed this Figaro very closely. I don't know if Tom's listening, but I have to take my hat off. He did a fantastic job, so he should be feeling confident, really. I was super impressed.
They will be cheering you down in Crosshaven, a bit of a home from home for you.
Yeah, and no, I lived in Crosshaven as a kid until I was 11 years old. So, yeah, you can't hear it now, but I had a very Irish accent for most of my childhood.
One other thing about the boat, for people who might know, it has foils which extend out from the side of the boat. How do they work?
Yeah, they do, yeah. And this is the... the big, some people call it an evolution in sailing. To me, it's a revolution. The foil is like a wing on an aircraft. The difference, I guess, is that water is 1,000 times denser than air, so we don't need them to be very big. And when you sail along and the water goes past these wings, these foils, they create lift. And one of the main things it does is it starts to lift the boat out of the water. Now, these are big, fat, wide boats, and when they're in the water, there's a lot of friction, which is drag, and you go slower. So by lifting the boat out of the water, we can go up to 40, 50% faster. It's completely exhilarating.
Do you think that will transfer into other boats, even commercial boats, as time goes on?
Yeah, you know what? I've been saying this for a few years now. I don't see how it happens yet. But once we work out how to fully fly in the ocean in big waves, I genuinely believe there is a chance that world ocean transportation could change.
Using this technology developed in this race?
Well, let me give you an example. I sometimes go wakeboarding behind a speedboat. And when I go wakeboarding on a normal wakeboard, I can do 10 minutes, it's tough, it's really physical. If I then put a hydrofoil on my wakeboard, I can hold the handle with my little finger and my thumb. So it gives you an example how much drag is gone when you're up and you're flying.
You're off on Sunday. Are all your preparations done? All your food packed? Do you bring water or do you make water?
Yeah, no, I start the race with 10 litres of water, and we have a desalinator that makes the water. Pretty much everything is done. Everything is packed. But, we're still developing. We're still looking at the data we've collected. We're still understanding. We're still learning. The race starts at 12:02, and we will carry on till 12:01 and try and get and learn as much as we possibly can before the start of this race.
How will you get your weather updates, and how often do you get those?
The weather comes in from various sources. I can get it between 4 and 8 times a day. I've got a satellite connection on board, so I can download the files and then look at how that affects my route. I mean, it's interesting because I think a lot of people think, it's a straight line route, 25,000 miles, which is the straight line. But actually, to stay in the optimal weather, to go the fastest around the world, we actually sail sometimes slightly more than 28,000 miles.
Okay. Will you have are you allowed to speak to people on shore?
Yeah, I'm allowed to speak to whoever I want, but I'm not allowed any outside assistance that improves my performance.
Well, look, Alex, the best of luck on Sunday and for the next 70 or so days, and we'll be cheering for you here, like all those people down in Crosshaven.
Yeah, do, and you can follow please come on our website, alexthompsonracing.com. You can click on the hub. You'll be able to see my live heart rate. You'll be able to see exactly how much sleep I'm getting. So hopefully during this lockdown, we can entertain a few people.
And thanks so much to Alex Thompson for taking time out of his preparations to speak to us. And his website again is alexthompsonracing.com. And there's no P in Thompson.